We thank the Lord for that humble and fervent prayer tonight. Hope you'll continue to pray for me and with me as I endeavor to preach to you this evening. This morning I had a burden to preach some from Psalm 144, and I have a mind to go back this evening to that chapter in the Old Testament, Psalm 144, and review a prayer that King David offered up for the people of Israel. Can you imagine what a burden it would be to be a king over a nation? Now, I know a lot of perks come with it. They get to live in the palace. They have a lot of wealth and servants. But you can imagine the responsibility, the awesome responsibility of being a king. And David, King David, was going to the God of heaven and praying to him to help him to watch over the nation of Israel. And he was praying for the nation of Israel. And he begins by asking God to protect the nation along with himself, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. This morning I mentioned that sometimes it's hard for us to remember that we are engaged in spiritual warfare on a daily basis, but we are. We have an enemy. And I want to notice with you briefly tonight, over in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul describes to us this spiritual warfare that we are in. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A soldier needs to be strong. You don't want weak, frail men on the battlefield. And that's true in the spiritual realm, but the apostle tells us that we're to be strong in the Lord. And some of the strongest Christian soldiers I've ever seen were in wheelchairs. Physically, they were feeble, broken people, but spiritually, they were mighty soldiers of the cross. Why is that? Because they had spiritual strength. And you may have a lot of physical strength tonight. You may be in great shape, but you need spiritual strength to fight this war. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I love that. Weak soldiers are no good. They need to be taken care of. We want people strong in the Lord fighting. And then he would say, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say to put on two or three pieces of the armor. There's, I think, six or seven pieces of armor that are identified here in this chapter. And we're to put it on. Put on the whole armor. Not just one or two pieces. The whole armor of God. And not only put it on, but keep it on all day long. You know, how many of y'all get up in the morning? Well, I'm not going to ask that question. We all get up in the morning and get dressed, right? We put on our clothes, put on our shoes, we get dressed. But how many of us put on the whole armor of God in the morning when we get up? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? Put on the whole armor of God. Why would you want armor? Because you're in a battle and you've got an enemy. And I don't care if you're just a little kid or if you're an old and aged person, you have an enemy. And that enemy is a formidable foe. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so, the Apostle Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. Why do you put this armor on? So you can march down the street in the parade? No. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's the enemy, the devil. And what does that word wiles mean? It means deceptions. You see, the devil would be out of business if he couldn't deceive us. He doesn't have any good thing to offer anybody in this house tonight. Can you name me one thing the devil's got to offer you that's any good? But I can tell you, he's deceptive. He knows how to bait the hook. How many of y'all love to go fishing? Do you go fishing with an empty hook? What do? You put something on that hook that you think the fish is interested in. But are you interested in feeding the fish? No. You're interested in feeding yourself. But you want to deceive the fish by putting something on the hook that the fish likes. And the Bible would indicate to us that Satan is fishing after us. I think that's mentioned in the book of James. And he's a good fisherman. And he knows how to bait that hook with something that you like. But I tell you, beyond the bait is the hook. And what's the fisherman interested in? Is he interested in the welfare of the fish? No. That fisherman wants you in the frying pan tonight. And that's what the devil wants with all of us. He wants to deceive us, taking the bait. And what is the bait? Well, I won't get into all that tonight, but I can tell you, he's a good fisherman. And his wiles are incredible. Incredible. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Watch out for Satan, because he does know how to bait the hook and get our attention. And then he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, spiritual warfare is not, it's not against flesh and blood. I love boxing. That's always been one of my favorite sports to watch. It's fast. It's quick. It's enjoyable if you know what's going on. And, boxing is an incredible sport. I know it's brutal. I understand that. But it's a powerful sport. But our spiritual warfare is not flesh and blood. Notice what our warfare is. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Does that sound like an enemy you can deal with in yourself? No. You need help. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. None of us are a match for Satan and his wiles. And it's not a physical war at all. It's spiritual. So he says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The evil day. When is that? Well, we face a lot of evil days in our personal journey through this world. But you know, if we put on the whole armor of God, we will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul has just identified the spiritual weapons that you and I are armor that we are to put on. And you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, spent a lot of his life as a minister in prison and often would be chained to a Roman soldier. And Roman soldiers were the greatest soldiers of the first century. And Paul, being chained to them, could have studied their armor. And I'm sure he is describing to us what he saw on a Roman soldier. But he makes the exchange over to the spiritual realm. Wherefore, to take unto you the whole armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, in those days, men would wear long flowing robes. And if you were going to be in a battle, you didn't want your robes flowing. You would pull them up around your waist so you could run and not trip on your robe. And you would gird the midsection, your loins, with a tight belt. And Paul is saying that the girdle that we have is the truth. You and I need to be armed with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all know how important it is to know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ? We're here tonight, hopefully, to learn. Every time we come to church, we ought to be learning. And don't wait till you come to church. You've got a Bible. How many of y'all got a Bible in your home? How many of you ever got two? How many of you got three? How many of you got four? How many of you got it on your phone? I asked Vestavia a while back, when I was there, I said, how many of y'all, if you left home and forgot your telephone, your cell phone, you'd go back to get it? I'll ask y'all the same question. We've become very dependent on it, haven't we? I said, how many of y'all, if you left your Bible at the house, would go back and get it? And a young brother said, well, Brother Sam, I'd have to go back and get my phone because my Bible is on my phone. Isn't that handy? And I've got it audible on my phone. I can just hear a man who knows how to pronounce all those hard words all day long, just reading to me the Word of God. It's important for you and me to stay in touch with the Holy Scriptures. I hope y'all understand that. Now, I know y'all don't have 3 or 4 hours a day to study the Bible. I've heard some preachers indicate that everybody ought to spend 3 or 4 hours a day studying the Bible. Well, that preacher didn't have small kids and he didn't have a job. Anybody with small kids or a job can't spend 3 or 4 hours a day reading your Bible. But how many of you could spare 10 minutes? And you'd be amazed what 10 minutes of reading your Bible in the morning would do to help get your mind set for the day. So, gird up the loins of your mind with the truth of God's Word. Our children need to know the truth when they go to school, when they go to college especially. They need to have the girdle of truth. And then, he would say, have your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, which is going to protect you from the fiery darts of Satan. You know, if you watch old westerns, which I do, you'll see fiery darts coming to the wagon train. Have y'all ever seen that? There's the picture when the Bible talks about fiery darts. Satan is going to be shooting fiery darts at you and me. And let me tell you, a dart, an arrow, is swift. You got to be alert. You got to be vigilant. You've got to be watchful. And Satan has a lot of fiery darts. See, they would dip, in Roman times, they would dip their arrows in tar and light them, and they're fiery darts, and they could do a lot of damage. And I'm talking to you all tonight about an enemy that's after every one of us. Sometime I may try to identify those fiery darts, but they're real and they're dangerous. And we're no match for them without the shield of faith. Let me tell you, when you're living by faith, I told you all today, Goliath kept saying to Israel, send me out a man that'll do battle with me. And all the men of Israel were trembling, and a young boy shows up, David. He's sent by his dad to take nourishment and refreshments to his brothers who are in the army, and they're all scared. And David, a man of faith, sees the giant, and he's not scared. Why? Because he has faith in God. And God says, I believe God said to Goliath, I don't need a man. I got a boy that trusts in me, and he can handle you. Our children here tonight, they need to live by faith. They need to learn early on to trust in the living God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things that you and I could think of or even ask for. How many of y'all believe in God tonight? How many of y'all believe He's your God? How many of you all are living by faith in the living God? Oh, I'll tell you, I like preaching on this. That shield of faith. You know what, David, he didn't go out there and say, how big is that giant? How long is his sword? No, you know what he remembered? He remembered a time when he was a shepherd caring for his daddy's sheep, that a lion came out to devour the sheep, and God delivered the lion into his hand. Another time, I believe it was a bear, and God delivered the bear. And David remembered how God had taken care of him. And he said, look, this giant is no problem to my God. Now, I'm telling y'all tonight this is May now. This is May. Didn't April fly by? March, February, and January. Where did all that go? It's flying, isn't it? This is May. I'm here to tell y'all tonight that the God of this universe, the God of David, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the same God tonight that they trusted in. He's the same God. He isn't getting old like I am. He's not wearing out. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You know why he didn't say yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Somebody might have said, well, after tomorrow, he won't be the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how many of y'all want a God like that you can reach up and take his hand and help you? I need him every moment of every day. And so David was a man of faith. And I will say this tonight, if you could just go back in your life and have presence of mind and recall the times God has delivered you and taken care of you, you would be amazed. And you need to be doing that. When I was so sick 5 years ago and thought I was near death, and I was so weak I couldn't even get out of the bed, I couldn't go to church, Nelda was having to wait on me hand and foot, And I thought, really, this is, my life is over. Any of y'all ever been there? Might be one or two here tonight, but I'll tell you what. The sweetest feeling came over me one morning, and I could feel the presence of the Lord in a way that I'd never felt in my life. And it was the sweetest peace. And I thought, if this is dying, it's wonderful. I believe the Lord gave me that experience so that I could share it with people like you all and let you know when your hour comes to depart from this world, it's going to be okay. Right now, we'd be scared of dying. But I want to tell you, when that moment comes, you know what's going to be right there to comfort you? The Holy Spirit of God. Do y'all believe that? Now, are we talking about Mickey Mouse up here tonight? Make-believe stuff. We're talking about, listen, people say, how do you know there's a God? All you got to do is go outside and look up. Wouldn't that be enough to tell anybody there's a God? Why did God put billions and billions and billions of stars out there in the universe? Just to let us know how big He is. And that He's taking care of everything. Are y'all getting this? You need that shield of faith. See, that shield is going to protect you from those fiery darts. Satan starts shooting things into your mind and telling you you're no good and that you're just a vile sinner and that Jesus doesn't love you and there's no way that God would care for you. When those fiery darts come, just lift up that shield of faith. You're diagnosed with some horrible disease, and Satan gets in your mind and tell you it's over, just hold up that shield of faith. And the devil says, there's no way as a sinner that you could ever go to heaven. And you know what I've told him when he would come into my mind and tell me that? I'd look at him and I'd say, devil, you're right, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. Tonight we were coming to church and Hannah was telling us about a 4-year-old girl that was singing Amazing Grace to her mama. And she stopped and said, Mama, what is a wretch? And her mama tried to explain it to her and she went on singing. Do y'all know we're all wretched sinners? So when Satan accuses you, tell him you're right. But I want you to look yonder to Calvary. And I want you to see a man hanging up there that loved me so much that he left heaven and came down here to this earth to take my place. And let me tell you, folks, you want to know what it cost Jesus to get us into heaven? And it just cost him leaving heaven. He came down here and was born of a virgin, gave up all the riches of glory, lived a perfect sinless life, and then took that sinless life and surrendered it to the Roman army. You know, Jews had a law that you can't beat a man over 40 licks. 40 stripes, that's it. If you go over 40, you get a whipping. So those men trained with the whip wouldn't go over 39. That's why Paul said, I was beaten 49 stripes, 40 stripes, save one. See, Paul was being beaten under Jewish law. I saw in the news yesterday where a woman in Afghanistan was being beaten. And other women had gathered around to see it. And she was on her knees and she was screaming. And the women of Afghanistan are petrified right now about the thought of the U.S. military pulling out of Afghanistan because all the gains the women have made under American influence is going to be lost. People still get whippings. But when they beat Jesus, they weren't doing it under Jewish law. They were beating Him under Roman law. And there was no limit. And the Bible says when they got through with Him, His vision was marred as no man. He was not even recognizable when they got through whipping Him. You could have looked, His own mother couldn't have recognized Him. And you tell me I'm not going to heaven? He paid it all. I told somebody recently, if anybody ever tells you to go to hell, tell them you can't because Jesus died for you. I hope this gospel blesses you all tonight. And this shield of faith will work for you. And when Satan gets in your head and tries to tell you, you know, no way you're a child of God, you just hold up that shield of faith. You take him to the Word. You point him to Calvary. And yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. That mother went on to describe to her little girl what a wretch is. People that make mistakes. How many of us are in that category tonight? I heard a woman one time on TV singing Amazing Grace, and she didn't say a wretch like me. She said a soul like me. And that got my attention. And I wondered, now wait a minute. They have changed the original version of Amazing Grace. And the pastor came on and explained the word wretch is too demeaning to human beings. So we changed that word wretch to soul. Well, that's not what John Newton meant. And that's not what Paul meant in Corinthians when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. How many of y'all know tonight you're a wretch? If you do, it's the Holy Spirit that taught you that. My mama tried to teach me I was a sinner. She couldn't. If you know, really genuinely know your... See, the word sin is almost lost in our culture. Y'all ever hear the word sin mentioned anymore out there and on the news? It's lost. But it's in the Bible. And it describes me. And it describes you. And you just tell the devil, yeah, I'm a wretch. But I've got a glorious Savior. I've got somebody that could save a wretch like me. Amazing grace. Isn't it amazing grace? It is so amazing we just talk about it and sing about it all the time. And so when Satan tries to get in your head and cause you to doubt your salvation, you just lift up that shield of faith. And it'll quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Then he says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, a soldier's got to have on the right shoes. a soldier with slick soles on greasy soil, he wouldn't be much of a soldier, would he? You need to have your feet shod. And those Roman soldiers wore sandals that would hold the ground. And you need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, that's the only offensive weapon we've got there, is the sword of the Spirit. And that's the Word of God. And you and I need to learn how to use it in battle against. And when Satan, you know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, every time Satan comes to him, what did Jesus do? Did he make up a new verse? No, he went back to the book of Deuteronomy. How many of y'all got a copy of Deuteronomy? Jesus went back to the book of Deuteronomy and pulled out a verse and said, as it is written. He used the very sword that's available to us tonight. As it is written. As it is written. That book y'all are holding, I see some of y'all holding your Bibles. That book in your hand, that's an incredible book. Now, I described a moment ago the beating that Jesus got. You know, the King James translation is G-rated. Some of these new versions or perversions, you'd blush reading them. They're embarrassing. The King James Bible that God has given us in the English-speaking world is G-rated. And I'm afraid my description of the beating of Christ was like PG. So I hope I didn't offend anybody. But I didn't tell nearly what they did to Jesus. But I want to tell you, his suffering was not in vain. So, now, praying always. Now, let's go back to Psalm 144 and try to look at some of this tonight. I got down to verse 13, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. See, David was praying for the prosperity of the nation. And you and I ought to be praying for the prosperity of Cool Springs Church and all the other churches that are represented here. How many of y'all pray that God will add to this church members that will love Him and love us? I do. We ought to be praying for that. How many of us are just content with the members we've got? I'm thankful for the members we've got. I'm thankful for every one of you. But I'd be happy to see a lot more. How about y'all? And you know, God can add to our church. And we need to be praying that He would. And then in verse 14, that our oxen may be strong to labor. You don't want weak oxen, sick oxen, old oxen that can't labor. You want oxen that are strong to labor. You see, in Bible times, oxen were their tractors, their mowers, their combines. And the ox in the New Testament is representative of the ministry. And what the kingdom of God needs are oxen that are strong to labor in the kingdom of God. And I want to say tonight, beloved, that we need to be praying for more ministers. We'd like to have more members, but I tell you what we ought to be praying for, I mean fervently praying for, is for God to raise up more ministers. Do you know how many of our preachers are my age or older? I could start naming them from here to California. How many young preachers do we have? Not nearly enough. And I can tell you something I'm thinking about and praying for. See, at best, I don't want to prophesy how long I've got left. I may be like the old man said, I don't want to live to be 100, but get back to me when I'm 99. I may have changed my mind. I don't know how long I've got left, but we know according to nature, most of my life and ministry is gone. It's behind me. I'd love for God to start raising up young preachers right here in this church, in this community. And you know what? We ought to be praying for that. How many of y'all ever pray? Jesus said, look ye out and see the harvest. It's white. The fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He may raise up laborers, not loafers. We don't need any loafers in the ministry, but laborers. How many of y'all would like for your sons to be called to preach? Brother Sonny Piles told Brother Sonny Powell's wife, who knew what it was to live with a preacher that gave his whole life to the ministry and traveled and was gone more than he was at home. She was telling a woman one time who was a little critical of preachers, she said, you better watch out. I may pray God will call your son to be a preacher. I'm going to give that a moment to just settle in. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. When John Mazzell told me he had a burden, I didn't even know John. We were in Mississippi. We were riding back to his grandfather's house, and I began to weep. Not because I don't love ministers and the ministry, but I knew the road. He told me later, he said, I didn't know why you were crying, Brother Sam. I thought you'd be happy. Well, I am happy that John's a preacher and a blessed preacher. But I'm praying that God will raise up more preachers. You know, in 1809, this church was constituted. Pleasant Plains goes way back. Trail Branch. A lot of churches. Go way back in 1800. How many churches have we had constituted lately? Would y'all like to see more Primitive Baptist churches constituted? Well, it's going to take preachers. And it's going to take converts. We ought to be praying for oxen to labor in the kingdom of God. And I tell you, I'm more excited about preaching than I believe I've ever been. 5 years ago, that was not true. I was so sick, I thought it was over. You know what? Nelda and I bought a little tiny house, and we put it up in Arkansas last May. And I thought I was going to wind down my ministry. We're going to move up there and live a while and be in Vestavia a while, be down here a while. You know how to make God laugh? Tell Him what your plans are. Come on now. Think about it. You say, God doesn't laugh. Well, Psalm 2 says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. When you're telling God what your plans are, I can just hear Him say, do what now? What did you say? Why don't we go to Him and say, what are your plans? Thy will be done. Oh, listen. That the oxen may be plentiful and strong to labor. And I want to tell you, the God that called me and Brother Wynn, and I think Brother Wynn was shocked to be a preacher. The God that called Franklin Bryant and Dan, did you know He is still the same God today? He can still raise up preachers. Now, we don't want any volunteers. We don't want any mama called and daddy sent preachers. They can't preach. We want God called and God sent preachers. And let me tell you, who God will choose wouldn't be the one probably you'd choose. I can guarantee you there wasn't anybody in this church ever thought I'd be a preacher. Not when I was a little boy. My mama would have been the last one. But I want to tell you, our God is able to take sinners like me and call us to preach the gospel. Are y'all getting this tonight? Now, see, I'm not just thinking about Cool Springs today. I'm thinking about next year, 20 years, 50 years from now. These children around here, I'm thinking about them. We need ministers coming up. And I tell you, I don't want to be jealous of young preachers. I got the sweetest text last night from the young brother there at Vestavia. He said, Brother Sam, I still think of you as my pastor. You talk about warming an old man's heart. This is all real to me. This is the kingdom of God. And we don't want to just think about us and today. We want to think about the future. And I tell you, when I left that church, I believe I left them with a man who has a heart for them. He sent us a picture this week of himself and a 93-year-old lady who broke her tailbone the other day, and she's down in Tuscaloosa in a rehab center. That's a long drive to Tuscaloosa from Birmingham. He's down there seeing after the sheep and the lambs. He's a laborer. Has a heart for the cause. God can raise up. When I started calling on Brother Josh about 6-7 years ago, he said, Brother Sam, this is a mistake. But it wasn't. He was a slow grower. If you're listening, Brother Josh, I'm telling the truth. You know, some of those late bloomers are the best. He didn't hit the ground preaching. But let me tell you, he's grown. slow and sure? Are you praying for the ministry, that our oxen may be strong to labor? And then, that there be no breaking in nor going out. There's unity in the house of God. Everybody's together. Everybody's, you know, like those Marines on Iwo Jima. Their hands around that flagpole. They're not interested in promoting themselves, but Old Glory. Let's all be of one mind tonight in the kingdom of God. And then he says that there be no complaining in our streets. Isn't that beautiful? David is praying for Israel that there be no complaining in our streets. What's complaining worth? I want to tell you, I like the doxology. Do y'all like that song? I want us to sing that after. I believe it's in the early part of the book. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, ye creatures here below. Praise Him, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want to tell you all tonight, complaining is an easily besetting sin. I can catch myself doing it. When you and I are complaining about our house, our car, our clothes, our neighbors. We had some neighbors last night, I'm telling you. Right up the street, they were partying at 11:30. I think there's an ordinance against that kind of noise at 11:30 at night. But complaining about your neighbors, your health, your family, your government, your church, your pastor, your deacons, your debts. Did you know complaining is not praying? And God does not respond to those kind of complaints with blessing. You and I really, genuinely don't have anything to complain about. And we can overcome our fears. We can praise them right out of existence. Just start praising God. Just praising Him. You get bad news, just praise the Lord. You know what Jesus did? He had a bunch of people follow, thousands, 5,000 men. They didn't even take time to count the women and children. And they were hungry out in the wilderness. And Jesus said, y'all feed them. And one of the disciples said, we don't have anything to feed them. One of the disciples brought a little boy who had 2 fish and 5 loaves. You know, just little sardines probably and pieces of bread. And Jesus took it. And you know what he did? He gave thanks. Are y'all listening? He gave thanks and blessed it and fed thousands of people. And when it was all over, they had 12 baskets of bread left. You know what I think he did with those 12 baskets? Gave each of the 12 apostles a basket to take home to remind them, I'm God. I can take care of the situation. Jesus gave thanks. You got a problem? You short on things? Give thanks. Instead of murmuring, complaining, give thanks. Now, I'm telling the truth tonight, whether y'all believe it or not. I appreciate the nods. I know I'm stepping on some toes, but I'm aiming for your heart. This voice God gave us. He gave me a voice. He gave you a voice. How many of y'all got a voice? What are you to do with that voice? Praise God. When you sit down to eat, thank Him. You don't have to take 3 minutes to say a prayer. You can just say, Father, thank You. And that sanctifies that food. Let there be no complaining in our streets. How many of y'all are good at complaining? I saw some of you duck. What's it ever got you? Worrying? Has it ever got you anything? Listen, I'll close with this. Some complained this morning because I didn't stand long enough. There won't be any complaining tonight. Listen to what he says. Happy. How many of y'all want to be happy? Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yay! Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. As long as your God is yours, you can be happy, folks, no matter what your circumstances are. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were locked in the innermost prison in stocks and bonds, not the kind you get on Wall Street. And you know what they started doing at midnight? Complaining? No. They started singing. Probably one of the old songs. And you know what God did? He opened. The chains fell off. Why don't we try that? When you're down and you're in trouble and you're sick or your debts are high, just start praising God and see what will happen. Thank y'all for your wonderful attention.